back, steps up, heaves one down the middle of the field into the end zone, and Nix makes the catch for the touchdown. He went up with the big hands and caught it on the Hail Mary.
Boots one, returnable for Williams from his own 20. Lost the ball, and the Giants say they have it. They do.
Devin Thomas recovered it, but the rookie Jaquan Williams punched it out.
Manning out of the shotgun set is back to throw. Climbs the pocket. Deep ball down the left sideline, and it's going to be caught. Was he inbounds? Yes. Manningham on the sideline. Brady's under pressure. Brady's chase. Brady heaves one down the middle of the field into the end zone. A jump ball, and it's incomplete, and the ball game's over, and the Giants have won Super Bowl 46.
Now, here's your host, Lance Meadow.
And a good Thursday morning to you all out there in Giants Big Blue Nation. So glad you could join us for our Big Blue Kickoff Live this morning. We're with you for the next 30 minutes, breaking down Giants football. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. You could also chime in on the conversation on Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. You could follow and interact with me at Lance Meadow, one word, last name, M-E-D-O-W. This is a big day today in the NFL, and the reason being, they will release the full regular season schedule just after 8 Eastern tonight, so stay tuned for that. And the question for today's show is, what matchup are you looking forward to the most for them to put in primetime? The Giants should certainly have a handful of games in primetime, but what matchup are you most looking forward to? The Giants clearly will have the Broncos on the schedule. The Manning brothers will be going head-to-head. That is certainly one matchup to look forward to. Clearly, all of the division rival games are going to be just as enticing as every other year in the past, so that will be certainly something to also look forward to, as the Giants will be playing each division rival twice. You have the Eagles, which are going to have a new head coach, a lot of new players. The Redskins, is Robert Griffin III going to be fully healthy for the start of the year? And then the Dallas Cowboys, and those two games certainly always come down to the wire, as we have seen in years past. So want to hear your thoughts on the upcoming schedule. The Giants will be also going up against NFC West opponents this season, AFC West opponents as well. So the Chargers, the Chiefs, the Broncos, and the Raiders will be going head-to-head with the Giants. And then when you look at the other matchups that they'll have to look forward to, the Carolina Panthers are going to be on the schedule. There are ties there, as David Gettleman, former Giants front office executive, is now running the Panthers as their GM. Chase Blackburn, Dominic Hickson signed with Carolina, so there's already some rivalries forming in terms of former players either coming back to town or welcoming their former team to town. Those are some matchups certainly to keep close tabs on as we move forward through the rest of the season as well as throughout this program. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. You could also continue to chime in on the conversation, hashtag Giants Chat. I'll try to get to as many as questions as humanly possible throughout the course of the next 30 minutes. But if you're near a computer, this is sometimes the best way to get into the conversation. And Brian Taylor at Brian Bleeds Blue says, I plan on buying tickets to the Giants-Broncos game. It better be in primetime. Well, I would think that the NFL had to be keeping close tabs on that matchup and circling that matchup even before they were laying out the schedule, because the Manning brothers do not have an opportunity to go head-to-head each and every year. The Giants played the Colts last. That was the last time they went up against one another. Now that Manning's with the Broncos, and the Broncos, one of the top teams in the AFC last year, and I don't see them falling off the map coming into this season, considering the fact that their roster is primarily intact once again, and they've done a good job in bringing in some additional pieces this offseason, considering what their wide receiver core looks like. Wes Welker now in the mix. They have Demaryius Thomas, who's a very good young receiver, and Eric Decker, who had a breakout campaign last year, in part because Manning is now under center. And I haven't even gotten into their tight ends and their running backs. So Denver's got a lot of offensive firepower. And even if Denver was middle of the pack in the AFC, just the storyline, Manning against Manning alone, if you're the NFL, you want to put that at a time where everyone is going to be in front of a television. So I would be absolutely stunned if that's not in prime time. Whether or not it's going to be an opening weekend, that remains to be seen. They may save that towards the middle of the season or a Monday night game. I don't know necessarily if the Giants are going to open up the year against the Broncos. It really depends on what other matchups the league wants to showcase. Remember, the Baltimore Ravens will be opening up the season on the Thursday before the first weekend, given the fact that they won the Super Bowl. And they're going to be opening up on the road because of a conflict with the Orioles. So all of the attention is going to go towards the Ravens, at least in the days right before that first weekend. Then the league has to determine what game do we want to put on Sunday night, and then what game, of course, do we want to have on the first Monday. Could very well be the Giants-Broncos, but there's a lot of other intriguing matchups that the Giants have on the schedule. Division rivalry games, I think they'll save towards the latter stages, and I am in favor of them doing that primarily after Week 8. I think they should wait till these teams get used to playing with one another, really get into midseason form. You look back at last year when the Giants opened up against the Cowboys. Listen, it's a great rivalry, and certainly it's going to bring in the television viewers, but that game was not really what it could have been had they waited till Week 8 and Week 9. And the reason I say that is not because the Giants lost that game. You're having a team that is still getting a feel for one another. And Akeem Nicks was hurt. He was overcoming that offseason injury. The Cowboys were also not yet in midseason form. I think we would have had a better matchup overall if that game was a little bit later on. And I would think that the league is going to try to do that, mainly because, remember, they want to save the last few weeks for division matchups so that teams don't have the luxury of benching their players. They want these games to be meaningful down the stretch. So they're going to save those divisional matchups. In terms of the other out-of-conference matchups, I should say out-of-division matchups that the Giants will be looking forward to, they're going to be playing the Green Bay Packers, the Minnesota Vikings, the Bears and the Lions, so they'll get the NFC North, and a lot of those teams are going to have some different looks. The Bears, Martellus Bennett, you have that connection in terms of he will either be coming to town to play the Giants or the Giants will be heading to Chicago. The Giants have played the Packers each of the last two seasons, and those matchups have really been high-scoring affairs because of the fact that Aaron Rodgers and company pose such a difficult challenge for the Giants. The Vikings, Christian Ponder, assuming that he's relatively healthy. Percy Harvin no longer on the team. Their defense has improved somewhat during the course of this offseason. And the Lions, if they're able to have a bounce back year after they fell off the map, given their injuries and some of their off-the-field troubles, but all of those matchups are certainly going to be important given that they're within the NFC Conference. I threw out the Carolina Panthers and the Giants connections that you have there. We know they're playing the AFC West, so there's a handful of different matchups that they can turn to, but the Broncos is the one that has the most appeal. And then outside of that, they'll have the Seattle Seahawks. So the Seahawks and the Panthers are going to be the two NFC opponents that they're going to face the Giants, but they're not going to face the rest of those division opponents, meaning the rest of the NFC South and the rest of the NFC West. They're only going to get one rep from each of those respective divisions, and the Seahawks are going to come into this season with a lot of hype. They were very aggressive this offseason, not just in terms of changing the depth chart at quarterback, but what they did on defense. They brought in Cliff Avril from the Detroit Lions. They brought in Michael Bennett from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They really beefed up that defense. And last season, remember, they had one of the best secondaries in the NFL. That is going to be a team to beat in the NFC West next season, as are the San Francisco 49ers, because the Niners are the defending NFC champions. So the NFC West all of a sudden this offseason went from a division that a lot of people used to say it's the weakest division out there. All you have to worry about is the San Francisco 49ers, to arguably one of the most deepest divisions outside of the NFC East. St. Louis, vastly improved. And then you look at the Arizona Cardinals, just by bringing in Carson Palmer, they're at least a threat. They were unstable, at that quarterback position last season because it was a game of musical chairs. It was one quarterback after another that Ken Whisenhunt turned to. Now they have a new coach in Bruce Arians, the former assistant of the Colts. They brought in Carson Palmer via trade. You have Larry Fitzgerald. He's always a threat down the field. And they have some youth around Larry Fitzgerald. As long as everyone stays healthy, the Cardinals are going to be that team that, you know, is probably going to walk away with a couple of victories and determine the outcome of the NFC West. Because normally, if you can't beat your divisional opponents, you're probably not going to win the division. And that could decide the race between the Seahawks and the Niners, who are going to come in as the early favorites. But the Rams and the Cardinals, mark my words, they're going to shake up that division. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. You can also chime in on the conversation, hashtag Giants Chat. We'll go to the lines. We've got Greg in North Carolina. Greg, welcome to the program. What's happening?
How you doing, John?
You're doing a great job up there. Appreciate it. What you got?
I got a question about training camp. I know we're moving out from Albany. Any schedule for New Jersey?
In terms of when they're going to kick off training camp officially?
Well, for the fans to come in.
For the fans, I don't think...
Take some days off.
Yeah, they haven't finalized the exact days of when the fans are going to come in. I mean, you can certainly anticipate that it will be in the latter stages of August, but there's really no dates at this point to throw out, mainly because they're still working out the logistics and the full schedule for the team before they could determine when exactly they're going to have fans present at the Timex Center to watch the team work out.
All right, thank you.
You got it, Greg.
Doing a great job.
Thanks a lot, Greg. So much for weighing in here this morning. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. You can also chime in, hashtag Giants Chat. We go back to Twitter. At BDig7 says he wants to see the Giants Redskins in primetime in terms of when they lay out the schedule. Sick of RG3 already. Take the division crown back. And that is going to be a matchup that the Giants have circled on their calendars. Every division matchup, but clearly against the Redskins, given the fact that the Giants had a hard time with the Redskins because of what RG3 brings to the table. I know they did split the season series last year, and that game in Washington, that you could make the argument the Giants had that game and they let it slip away. It was a highly contested game heading into halftime, and they did not play in the second half as they did from an intensity standpoint in the first half. That was the big difference maker. And turnovers certainly determined the outcome of that game. Remember also, Sean Locklear got hurt in that contest, and that threw off the offensive line a bit because Locklear gave them so much versatility and flexibility as that sixth offensive lineman, that swing tackle spot. And you look back at last year, from the point that that injury occurred moving forward, it's no coincidence that the Giants struggled down the stretch. And I'm not pinning it just on Sean Locklear, but you don't want to use injuries as an excuse as to why a team breaks down. But it's hard to overlook the fact of when you lose a critical player who they were relying on week in and week out and gave them the luxury of mixing and matching players, and then you take him out of the equation when you're trying to solidify a playoff spot, you can't overlook that. So that was certainly one notable injury. Andre Brown, losing him, took away from the depth at the running back spot after he was playing very well, and Ahmad Bradshaw then was being bothered by injury, so you were only left primarily with David Wilson, and then the Hakeem Nicks injury. So the goal right now, as they've begun their offseason program this week, and moving forward into mini camps and training camp, is to maintain health. That is priority number one this offseason. You know, a lot of Giants fans want to speculate on how the team's going to do this year. They've got a couple of months for that. They don't need to worry about that right now. What they need to worry about is getting everybody in tip-top shape and getting everybody in a position that they are able to outlast the months upcoming. The last thing you want to do is enter September. And I know we're talking about the NFL schedule today, when it's going to be released tonight. You don't want to head into that week one matchup knowing that one or two critical players is banged up. Because what happens is then you don't have the opportunity to get them healthy and the injuries linger. And that was probably the biggest storyline that you could take away from last season. Hakeem Nicks never got back to 100%. As a result, the offense was never 100%. When you take a guy like that out of the lineup, regardless of how your depth chart looks, it is very difficult to have somebody come in immediately and fill the void. That is the biggest issue with respect to the Giants when you look at last season. This season, the goal is get everybody healthy, have the depth chart in one piece heading into week one. Let's go back to the lines. We've got Tommy in Florida. Tommy, welcome to the program. What you got?
Hey, good morning. I'm a season ticket holder, so I make it up for a couple of games a year. But, you know, just looking at the home opponents and road opponents, you know, we missed the playoffs really by two games, to win the conference, or rather their division, I should say. So I always like to circle the two setup games, the ones that you think you should win. Well, I'm going to say for the home opponents, it's the Oakland Raiders. And on the road, it's Kansas City. And I'll take Kansas City first. They have a great home field advantage there, even though they're not that great a team. And I think they've improved somewhat. And as far as Oakland goes, I think the Giants have had a history of just overlooking some of these teams, looking to the Cowboys, looking to the Packers. I think if you play up to all of your opponents this year, I think for the Giants, I think they have enough weapons to win that division. But those two games just stand out at me just because everyone's going to overlook them.
You know, it's funny you brought those two games up, Tommy, given the fact that they're out-of-conference games. And I'm not saying that you should overlook those games, but normally you want to take care of business in your NFC games. The reason I say that is because of tiebreakers. And last year, tiebreakers hurt the Giants. Number one, they didn't have a very strong divisional record. And then number two, there were some games outside of the division that they let slip away. But you bring up the Raiders and the Chiefs game as games that, at least on paper right now, look like they're winnable. And you're right. I think the fact that they're getting the Raiders to travel cross-country, knowing based on history that West Coast teams tend to struggle when they have to come cross-country, that is a game that the Giants need to take care of business. The one thing that scares me, though, Tommy, about the Kansas City game is having Andy Reid now in the mix. And I know it's different personnel than the Eagles, but his familiarity with the team could give him somewhat of an advantage in terms of how he game plans for the Giants.
I think the other game that, obviously, for the obvious reasons, it's going to be Green Bay. That's an NFC team that they've had a lot of confidence with over the last couple of years. And I got to think Green Bay is still feeling kind of sore last year about, you know, their season. And, I have to think that if the Giants play those three games well, I think they're in a hunt at the end of the year. I know it's not NFC teams for the two of them there, but those are the two, the Raiders and the Chiefs, they need to win those games. And Green Bay, well, they're going to have their A game there. But I thank you, fellas. I'm looking forward to cheering in Section 221A. Go Big Blue.
All right, Tommy, thanks so much for the phone call. Greatly appreciate it. And thanks so much for weighing in here on Big Blue Kickoff Live this morning on Giants.com. Lance Meadow with you. So glad you could join us. Our big question of the show today, the schedule, in case you're not aware, will be released just after 8 Eastern tonight. The Giants know their opponents. We just don't know what week which matchup will come, nor do we know what the league is thinking. It's all speculation at this point, but we want to know what matchup you're looking forward to the most and what matchups you would like to see on primetime as we return to Twitter to take a look at what you've been chiming in on this topic. And we start with Jonah Menendez at Jonah1497. Would love to see Giants-Broncos on primetime. Probably would be the best game of the season. Two brothers going at it. And I think a lot of Giants fans would echo that sentiment as we've seen on Twitter thus far. Crest4 at GiantLB56 throws out, maybe put the Giants-Broncos on Thanksgiving night. Brother matchup, and it should be a good game between two good teams. That is an intriguing suggestion about moving it to Thanksgiving. Normally, they like to shuffle teams around that play on Thanksgiving. And the Giants, if you recall, already played the Broncos on Thanksgiving. If memory serves me correct, it was either 2 or 3 years ago. Clearly, Peyton Manning was not under center at that point, and Denver won that game. It was a very rough performance for the Giants. We know the Cowboys and the Lions play the two early games, but they have added a third game in primetime. Maybe that is something that the league will consider about bringing the Manning brothers back into the fold and putting it on Thanksgiving. I would think, my gut tells me, they want to save it for a Sunday night or a Monday night game. Not that nobody watches football on Thanksgiving. Outside of eating, it's probably the second popular hobby that you do on Thanksgiving. But I think the league probably is going to aim to get it on a Sunday or a Monday night, just because they know this is not just one of the best matchups for the Giants, but it's probably one of the most intriguing matchups out of the entire schedule when you look at what everybody has to deal with throughout the course of this season. And in terms of the Giants-Broncos matchup, it will be a home game. So that game is going to be here at MetLife Stadium for the Giants. As Tommy threw out earlier, they're going to get the Raiders at home and the Chiefs and the Chargers will be the two AFC West opponents that they have to travel to. In Kansas City, another point that Tommy brought up, a very difficult stadium to go to. The San Diego matchup also has some intrigue given the fact that Phillip Rivers and Eli Manning were traded for one another. So you have a lot of storylines that you probably could bring to the forefront for each and every opponent for the Giants this season. Forget the divisional opponents. We know those always have something to talk about and something to chatter about. But when you look at the NFC North matchups, the Packers have played the Giants each of the last 2 years. 2 years ago, the Packers came in unbeaten, and the Giants were one of the two closest teams to beating them. The Chiefs eventually knocked them off, but it came down to that last-minute field goal by Crosby to avoid overtime. So that is always going to be a very tough matchup. The Bears, I mentioned, you have the Martellus Bennett storyline. The Vikings, maybe a little bit of a stretch to get a storyline out of that, but you have Adrian Peterson. And the Giants struggled to stop the run last year, so it certainly will be a good test, whether it's early or late, to see how far the Giants have come from a defensive perspective. And the Lions, a team that has a lot of youth in the mix, can they put it together? They are going to be visiting Motown for that game. And a dome, remember, is Eli Manning's playpen. He loves to go to indoor facilities. Plays his best. There's a reason why the Giants won both Super Bowls, and a big factor was because they were indoors. You take away the elements, especially cold weather, watch out, because Eli Manning is normally at the top of his game. And then when you go to the two opponents that they're going to play, the Panthers and the Seahawks, and those are going to be the only opponents from those respective divisions. I mentioned you already have tons of ties to the Panthers because a couple of former Giants have headed to Carolina. And Seattle, to me, if you're to pick some of the early favorites outside of the NFC East, that is a team that I think is going to have a very good chance at not just returning to the playoffs, but perhaps making a lengthy run because of all of the changes that they made to the roster. And this was a roster that was strong to begin with. Now you add a couple of little different pieces here and there on both sides of the football. Who knows how Seattle is going to look heading into week one. But they have a young quarterback who has the threat on the ground and through the air. You have some young receivers that they've surrounded him with. You have an electric running back in Marshawn Lynch who's done a really good job taking the pressure off of Wilson. And that defense knows how to get to the quarterback, knows how to shut down receivers. It's hard to find a weakness or two on the Seattle Seahawks roster. So that is going to be a good test for the Giants. And the positive is the Seahawks are coming cross-country. Outside of going to Kansas City, very difficult to go into Quest Field and win a football game. You hear about that 12th man element, makes it very challenging. And the Giants have not had the best track record out in Seattle. I know they had that big lopsided victory a couple of years ago, but that was a down year for the Seahawks. In years where the Seahawks were competitive, Giants have struggled when they've gone out there. So that is a good sign that they're going to get Seattle to come cross-country. Same thing could be said, they're getting Oakland to come cross-country. You want those West Coast teams to come to you. You don't want to have to go to them. When you look at the travel that the Giants are going to have to face, San Diego is really the only lengthy trip. Outside of that, Dallas, Philly, Washington, manageable trips. They do it every year. Then they're going Chicago, Detroit, not terrible. Carolina, East Coast team, and Kansas City, also not a terrible trip. So they only have to go to the West Coast once for the Chargers. Outside of that, it's manageable, middle of the country, back towards the East Coast trips, and everybody else is coming to them. And I mentioned you get two West Coast teams coming to you, plus you get the Denver Broncos, which is a lengthy trip in its own. You host all three of your divisional opponents, and Green Bay and Minnesota come to town. So the way it balances out, just in terms of the home and away breakdown, not a bad situation for the Giants. We'll have to wait till tonight to determine what type of an order the Giants get their schedule to play out. But remember, what has been the biggest storyline for the Giants? We talk about this each and every season. We talk about it once the schedule comes out. We talk about it once we get into the heart of the schedule. Oh, the Giants have a killer schedule. They have three straight weeks against very tough NFC opponents. The league didn't give them a gift. The league always makes it very hard on them. Listen, the Giants have been a competitive team the last couple of years. As a result, they're going to play teams the season prior that were just as competitive. So that should be no surprise. You can only play who's on your schedule, and you can only play what the league determines for you. They have no influence on how it's going to play out that way. So the Giants can't sit back and say, well, why did the league give us three consecutive weeks against divisional opponents? Or why did they give us a three straight week stretch where we have to go on the road? It doesn't matter. And the Giants are going to be the last team to use that as an excuse. That's why I said the key heading into this season, regardless of opponent, regardless of how the division has vastly improved across the board, is health. That, to me, if I was to lay out the big storylines over the next couple of months, and I know the draft is coming up next week, but that's a big storyline to begin with. Right now, it is, can the Giants get through these next couple of months with their roster intact? That is the biggest focus for this team right now as we enter the offseason program and as they move towards minicamp and training camp. As long as there are no lingering injuries and this roster is in one piece towards the latter stages of training camp heading into week one, then the Giants and their fans are going to be able to see the true potential of this team compared to last year when, despite the injuries, they were able to battle through. But you can't overlook the fact that Hakeem Nicks was not 100%, not just heading into week one, but not at any point. That factor alone, to me, is the one thing that sticks out to last season. Regardless of the up and down play and the fact that the defense was ranked 31st, not being able to see the coulda, shoulda, woulda game. And what I mean by that is, what if Hakeem Nicks got that knee at least 90% by middle of the season? What happens if Andre Brown is not lost middle of the year? Who knows how the Giants' offense is able to perform in those last couple of games? That's why getting those two players back at the facility 100%, that's a big step in the right direction. I know we're a couple of months away from the season, but just the presence of those two guys working out with Eli Manning, getting back into the mix, I mean, that is a big luxury for the Giants, and that is something that they can look to build on in the weeks upcoming. Let's go back to the lines. We've got Steve in D.C. Steve, what's happening? Welcome to the program. What you got?
Hey, Charles. Well, you know, I really, it's kind of early, you know, to kind of really come up with a smart comment about, you know, about predicting, what, you know, what the schedule will yield as far as our record. You know, I kind of just like to stick with the division. No matter what, you know, no matter what year it is, you know, focusing on the division. We gave a couple games away last year. And to me, you know, losing Hakeem, you know, to injury was definitely, you know, a big part of us not being successful as we wanted to be. But to me, it was really more about Eli, which is it is every year. You know, what can we do to make sure Eli has the type of year that he's capable of having? Because as far as I'm concerned, he didn't play up to his potential, and he hurt us way more than Hakeem being injured hurt us. You know, Eli did not have his best year. Let's face it. I mean, you know, he didn't. I mean, you could say, oh, because Hakeem was hurt, or you could, you know, or you could go on with some of his decision making and the play calling. You know, like I've always said, we score too early. We can score whenever we want. Our offense is really not the problem. I don't think injuries were really the problem. I think, you know, obviously the defense let us down, you know, big time. But you know, to me, I think, you know, winning our divisional games, you know, it's got to be number one like it is every year. But I think a bigger thing is, you know, how can we make Eli more efficient? How can we get his passer rating up?
Well, the reason I throw out injuries regarding Eli Manning, Steve, and I understand you don't want to point to injuries all the time, but with Hakeem Nicks out of the lineup last year, and remember, Dominic Hixon was not fully healthy, so Manning was forced to go to targets that he didn't have the same comfort level as he did with the likes of a Nicks and a Hixon. So that's why you saw a lot of games, and we talked about this at great length throughout the course of the season. He was going to Victor Cruz when Victor Cruz was probably double-teamed and not the best option at that point, where the best option would have been, as you were just alluding to, Steve, dumping it down to the running backs or throwing to Martellus Bennett over the middle. And I think Manning was timid at times because he didn't have the same level of comfort with some of the other receivers, such as a Reuben Randall. That didn't develop, remember, until the last couple of games. That's why Randall had that big game against the Eagles. If Randall would have had that level of consistency earlier in the season, we may not be talking about last season like we are right now, if Randall would have given them the luxury to fill the void left behind by Akeem Nicks. But you're right. Eli Manning's decision-making contributed at times. Wasn't the big reason, but it was one factor as to why the offense was not consistent. And I think the fact that they brought in the likes of Lewis Murphy, they brought in a Brandon Myers, these guys are going to start working with Manning this week during off-season programming. Some of them have already started to work out with him at Duke a couple of weeks ago. That's only going to help them get to a level of comfort so that by week one, Manning will be able to throw the ball to Lewis Murphy the same way that he's able to throw the ball to Victor Cruz and Akeem Nicks. So that is the primary goal, I think, in the next couple of months. Can they get the new guys up to the same level and comfort that the regular normal suspects are?
Yeah, do you think we'll see a little bit more consistency in the running game? Do you think we'll run the ball a little bit more?
I think having Andre Brown fully healthy, David Wilson with another full training camp under his belt, and the fact that you have a guy like Ryan Terrain, I don't know how big of a role he will play, but he's at least a veteran, knows the system. As long as they have multiple guys that they can turn to. Look at seasons past, Steve, when they had the three-headed monster, Earth, Wind, and Fire. It's no coincidence that the Giants had their best rushing seasons when it wasn't one running back, it wasn't two running backs, it was multiple running backs. So if they have a nice depth chart heading into the year, I think the running game should certainly take a step in the right direction compared to where it was at times last year. Part of that was because they just didn't have more than one option to turn to.
Yeah, well, I definitely agree with everything you said. I just hope we just focus a little bit more on ball control, because it seems that years past we've had success. We've, like you said, with the three-headed monster, it's always been about ball control. I mean, last year our time of possession, even games we won, was just so low. It scares me with with our defense. And I'm really not sure if it was, you know, our defense was the Achilles heel, or was the fact that they were constantly on the field, because we scored a lot of points. You know, I didn't really feel like it was the offense that actually hurt us. You know, it was the defense. We need some downhill linebackers and got to stop the run. And, you know, this pistol offense, it scares me. What are we going to do to address that this year?
All right, Steve. Well, I appreciate the phone call. I want to get to a couple of calls before we wrap up the program, but a lot of good points that Steve brought to the forefront. And he just touched on the linebacker situation. They did address that in free agency. They brought in Dan Connor, the former Panther, and probably they'll address that also in the draft. It's very too early to tell what the defense is going to look like in a couple of months. But look at it from this perspective. The depth chart compared to where the season ended to now what it looks like is almost apples and oranges. And the reason I say that is they've got a lot more corners in the fold right now than they did when the season winded down. You have some more stability at the linebacker spot. Remember, they're anticipating Jaquan Williams is going to be fully healthy. That was not a player that they could rely on last year. And you brought in some extra depth at the defensive line. Cullen Jenkins was not in a Giants uniform last season. And if you want to talk about a guy that durability would be a good way to classify him, I throw Cullen Jenkins in the mix. Been very good at staying healthy, with the exception of when he got briefly hurt with the Packers. Outside of that, he has been able to stay on the field. And he's a player that could play the defensive end spot and the defensive tackle spot. You want versatility, because you want to be able to mix and match guys. And that's what Perry Fuel is known for. He doesn't just keep one guy at the right end or one guy at the left end. They're going to move players around so that they can get the best possible matchups against their respective opponents. And I would look to see that trend continue heading into this season. It's just a matter of getting some of the new guys, the new faces, into the mix and being able to digest the system. All right, let's get to a couple of more phone calls before we wrap things up. We've got Dave in Rochester. Dave, what's happening?
Hey, brother. Good morning. How you doing?
Doing well, Dave. What you got?
Hey man, if we could go back to injuries in the off season training camp and all that, man, it seems like every year somebody always seems to get hurt in the in training camp and so on. And it, I guess if part of a fan is like, man, why is this happening? We go back to Prince 2 years ago when that was the second play he busts up his foot. I guess if you think about it, if there was a formula so that these guys didn't get hurt, If you could come up with that formula, you'd probably be pretty rich. And I guess I want to get your opinion. What do you think? I mean, how can you stop something? You can't stop these guys from practicing or maybe go an extra mile to make that tackle. What is there? What scenario is there so that we don't have these guys getting hurt every year?
Well, I mean, that's a great question, Dave, and I think the team is trying to figure that out themselves. It's just not overworking guys, as you just touched on. I mean, you want to be able to spread the wealth out over the course of the next couple of months, and it's also partially responsible on the players. Keep that in mind. A lot of these guys now, given the schedule, remember, teams don't have the luxury of being able to overlook their players as they did in off seasons prior. The new CBA limited the amount of time that the players are at the facility and having organized activities. So that means that a lot of the offseason, Dave, is spent players amongst themselves, organizing themselves and working out. So a player needs to know his limits. And what I mean by that is if your shoulder's starting to bother you after you've lifted weights for 2 hours, you got to know to stop. And you have to know to take maybe 2 or 3 days off to let the body recuperate. Same thing can be said for a quarterback. If you've thrown for 5 straight days and you're starting to feel soreness, you've got to stop. That's the biggest thing. The players need to know their bodies. They know their bodies better than anybody else. And they need to know that, listen, I've grinded it out too much. I now need to take a couple of days off. And the teams, when the players are at the facility, are doing a good job monitoring that. But a lot of it is self-discipline on the part of the players. I think that's a big part to avoid injuries. Can players build their own schedules and stay well-disciplined so that by the time they come back to training camp, when they know that's going to be a grind in itself, that they're not overworking themselves so that by the time they get to week one, they don't feel as if they've already been through a 16-week schedule.
No, I mean, I think you're right. You don't hear of Akeem Nicks getting hurt because Keen Winooka's blasting him.
Of course.
You know, just knocking him out. It's because he's making a cut. He's turning a certain way. Or O'Hara, I remember a couple of years ago, he's just kind of blocking somebody in practice and he gets hurt in training camp. So I think you're right. But all right, man, thanks a lot. Nice talking to you.
You got it, Dave. Thanks so much for weighing in this morning. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. You could also chime in, hashtag Giants Chat. We're keeping close tabs on Twitter. You can follow and interact with me, at Lance Meadow, one word, last name, M-E-D-O-W. Let's go back to the lines. We've got Alan in D.C. Alan, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's going on, Alan? What you got?
Not much today, but just – letting you guys know, I really love the show. I've been listening, all off season.
Appreciate that.
And just the whole, I guess everybody's cruised out. I haven't heard too much going on because I guess he's still under that tender. So, and I like the option that we have of even after this year franchising him. I found that out over that, so I'm kind of like calm about that now. I do think, going forward in the off season, we've done some really good things. I still think we need some young linebackers to help out the run defense. But how do you think Prince of Mukamura is going to do next season? I mean, I know he had a quiet season, but I think he might be our number one guy next season. And the second question I have is. The running backs, I love Wilson, and I still think he should be returning our kicks for us. I know a lot of people are afraid of, him getting injured and stuff like that, but when you have that raw ability and that knack that he has, there's no point in taking him off. I mean, he's giving us great field position every time he gets a look at it.
Well, Alan, that's why having Andre Brown healthy is so important, because if you don't have to give David Wilson 20 to 22 carries, then you don't have to worry about him being a key contributor in special teams. Whereas if you had to give him 25 carries a game, then I can understand the team's a bit concerned. But having additional running backs healthy this season should take away that level of concern so that David Wilson should still be able to be a key component on special teams. You're right. He adds that dynamic factor that they had been missing in seasons prior. He could turn the tables on an opponent. He can really change field position. He could give the Giants a huge advantage game to game. I don't think the Giants have any plans to take him out of that mix. But if you had to give him a full workload as a running back, then you don't want to kill him. You don't want to overwork him. And I think Andre Brown back, having Ryan Terrain, perhaps another running back will be signed, or they'll draft one. There's going to be enough bodies to throw around that David Wilson, he may be the number one running back, but they'll be able to limit him to the 15-17 barometer, that they're not going to overwork him, and then he could still play a key role on special teams. So that's priority number one regarding Wilson. Your second question regarding Prince Amukamara in terms of expectations, you know, remember, this was his rookie year, essentially. Let's not forget that. Everybody thinks Prince Amukamara has been in the mix for a couple of years, but he missed his rookie year because he got hurt in training camp and was not able to play much. So, you know, last year was the first opportunity for the Giants to step back, evaluate him, and see what he can do week to week and have him on the practice field. This is now the sophomore campaign that we're entering. I think there is one big factor that is going to help out Prince Amukamara, and that is having some extra depth at the corner spot. And the reason I like that, Alan, is the fact that at times last year, it was Prince Amukamara and perhaps whatever healthy body the Giants could find. They used Justin Tryon. Corey Webster was not healthy. He was dealing with the hand. He was dealing with the hamstring. They did not have Aaron Ross on the roster last year. They had a couple of corners that got hurt, such as Bruce Johnson, before the season even started. You know, now they have a lot of other players, and that means that they can move around Prince Amukamara. They can maybe keep Jaron Hosley in that slot spot, which he has a more of a comfort level in, as opposed to the outside where he played primarily in college. There's a lot of different options to surround Prince Amukamara with better talent that should help raise his level, as opposed to throwing out Prince Amukamara there, throwing him on the top wide receiver, and expecting him with limited experience to make key stops each and every play. Plus, I haven't even thrown out the safeties, which I think also give them some more depth. So in terms of the expectations, listen, I'm not going to say he's going to come in and all of a sudden be a shutdown corner or all of a sudden make the Pro Bowl. But I think having a lot of talent around him, having another training camp under his belt, should help him increase his level of play, that he could be a reliable every down corner.
That sounds good, man. And what happened to you can't teach height guy?
That's a good question. I know Ramsey's party.
I know we had a lot of fans in the regular season who brought his name up a bunch, and I know that Cruz probably got all the attention over this offseason just because he's an unrestricted free agent. But I haven't heard anything about you can't teach height lately, so I was a little concerned. What's going on with him? You know,
I know
he's not going to get much playing time, but.
And I appreciate the phone call, Alan. Thanks so much for weighing in. Ramsey's Barden was a free agent, so he has the opportunity to explore his options. Clearly, the Giants have addressed the wide receiver spot by bringing in Lewis Murphy. They have Reuben Randall, who they drafted last year. And then you hope to have your nucleus with Akeem Nicks and Victor Cruz back in the fold. So there's depth there. I don't know necessarily if Ramsey's Barden factors into that equation, and that is why he remains unsigned. But as Alan just alluded to, for those of you who didn't understand the reference, you can't teach height. John Schmelk and I use that phrase quite often during the course of the regular season because we fielded tons of calls, and there may be a lot of Giants fans out there that still have faith in Ramsey's Barden because of his height and the fact that he's a big red zone target and that the Giants should have utilized him more. So we had a lot of fun with that. If Ramsey's Barden is not re-signed, don't worry, Giants fans. We will find a new phrase to keep you entertained throughout each and every week of the regular season. Mark my words, John Schmelk, he will be studying very, very often during the course of the offseason. We will even be putting Paul Dottino to work. He will take a break in the running of the laps that he takes part in each and every morning. We will go very hard to work to make sure that we find somebody to replace Ramsey's Barden in terms of picking up the chatter here on our daily morning program, Big Blue Kickoff Live. Want to thank everybody who weighed in on the phones. Want to thank everybody who weighed in on Twitter. If I didn't have an opportunity to address some of your comments on Twitter, I'll take a look after the show ends, try to get back to you personally. You can also feel free to interact with me throughout the course of the week and weeks coming at Lance Meadow, one word, M-E-D-O-W, and always use hashtag Giants Chat so that Giants fans can continue to interact as we move into the offseason program. Remember, the draft is next week. We'll have a lot of coverage here on Giants.com. Stay tuned to the team's website. And another date I want to throw out there, as Alan just brought up Victor Cruz, tomorrow is April 19th. And the reason that date is important, that is the deadline for teams outside of the Giants to offer Victor Cruz a contract. Once the 19th passes, it's Victor Cruz and the New York Giants. Those are the only two pieces in the game. So tomorrow will be one hurdle to cross off the list in terms of deadlines within the NFL schedule. Then the next objective is to get Victor Cruz to sign on the dotted line and get him to start preparing for the upcoming season. I'll leave you with that. Big Blue Kickoff live with you each and every morning. Back tomorrow, 10 a.m. Eastern. Make sure you tune in on the phones and on Twitter. Lance Meadow signing off here on Giants.com. Appreciate all the feedback once again. We'll see you tomorrow morning. Have a good one.